Everyone, it's Tim Pichot, your financial advisor, and just wanted to make a quick video to give a status update on what is happening with me right now.
There's been a change since I originally filmed this for my clients, and that change has been as of Friday. So on Good Friday, we found out that we were actually approved to do business in the state of Arizona, we being Innovative Advisory Group, which is the RIA that I'm going with. So I sent back my paperwork on Saturday, the very next day, back to Massachusetts. They've got to do a few things, get me appointed with Arizona, but hopefully we should be ready to go. I'm thinking at the latest should be tax time, so April 15th. Hopefully we should be ready to go, but we are one step closer, and this is just an update just from since I originally released this to my clients.
Priority is taking care all of you guys, so definitely appreciate your patience. Really appreciate everybody seeing this through, and you know, we'll make sure we get through all this together. Now, today in the stock market, it was a big day. I think it was down, 724 is what it ended up being down as a whole. But on any given day, I really have not done a whole lot in terms of paying attention on a day-by-day basis, because the issues that I'm dealing with are so much bigger than on, you know, what did, you know, Trump say here? What did Trump say there? What did, you know, this person tweet out about that? I mean, everything I'm looking at is at such a higher level than, you know, what you see in the news, what you see people getting down to the minutiae, because, you know, my job, what I'm really trying to do is figure out, I guess not really my job, that's not really the best way to describe this, but, you know, one of the software tools that we have available is Riskalyze, and on there, it gives a nice real high level overview of really what the probability of success that someone's going to have in their own retirement. Now, one thing that's really counterintuitive to a lot of people is that you can actually decrease the amount of risk in your portfolio, but then greatly increase the risk of you running out of money in retirement. So right now we've got somebody who has a 61 risk, and then we're going to move them down. Let's try to move them down to a 40 and see what that does. So, you know, not, you know, this is still doable, 77% probability. You know, we'd like to be at least above 80 at a minimum, but let's now try to make this even more conservative. So let's go into a 30. So now at 38%, you know, you got a really dire situation here that, you know, it's not, you know, impossible to fix. You know, it's either retire later, or you withdraw less money, or some sort of combination of the two. So, you know, nothing, or you save more money in the interim. But what I want to do right now is pretend that you're the US government. So let's say, you know, instead of withdrawing, you know, $3,500 a month, you're withdrawing $35,000 a month. So now, you know, without even running this, I could tell you the probability of that working out is zero. And so where I'm going with all this is that when I take a look at the government, I mean, their odds of trying to pull off what they're trying to pull off is actually 0%. And it's actually even worse than that, because you're probably thinking, like, well, how can it be worse than that? Well, the money in order to get a dollar into the system, so the very first dollar that was created December 23rd, 1913, that dollar had 4% interest on it, which meant at the end of year one, you actually owed $1.04. But in order to get that dollar into the system, you had to create a dollar of debt. That debt had interest on it. So you created $1. At the end of year one, you owed $1.04. Well, if you only created $1 to begin with, it's mathematically impossible to pay back the extra 4 cents. So then you have to then add on another dollar and then another dollar. And then, but what is continually happening is that the amount of money that you owe is always going to be greater than the amount of money that's actually in existence. And so it's a situation where the current economy really is built on quicksand. It's built on debt. And when you break it down, money is debt, because our money is backed by debt. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. And it really is complete bipartisan issue where it doesn't, I don't care, you know, if you're, you know, white, black, purple, Republican, Democrat, communist, socialist, you know, anarcho-capitalist, I don't care who you are, you're getting screwed by the system, because the system was designed to be high-deck slavery, to have us be indebted to the banks. Now, this is, you know, might sound pretty radical, me saying this, but that is how it works. And it's unfortunate, because it's a situation where it's over just about everybody's heads. And you can get away with this for a very, very long time. We've gotten away with it since, you know, since 1913. So, you know, already been, 105 years that we've gotten away with this. And you can get away with it to a point. And I think really that point that we are kind of coming to an end at how long this can possibly continue. Because, I mean, really, in order to get, you know, the minimal GDP growth that we've had the past 10 years of about, you know, it's about like 2.2%. Everybody was ecstatic that Trump got 2.3% when really, you know, it wasn't really any different than what Obama was doing. But in order to get that, though, we had to take the debt from 10 trillion to now it's actually 21 trillion. You've got companies that are issuing record amounts of stock buybacks. So two podcasts ago, I did talk about this situation that's going on with, you know, the margin debts at record, company buying back their own stock. That's the fastest pace that's ever been occurring. So when I take a look and I see that, okay, yeah, the Dow is down 700 points, you know, for me, I'm sort of wondering, you know, why some of this stuff hasn't happened soon enough. And they're, you know, not even on the same level. Meaning like, you know, the average Wall Street trader, the average, you know, hedge fund manager, the average, you know, even portfolio manager, you know, you bring some of this stuff up to them because I have had chances to talk to some pretty big name people and they do seem like they are scared by what I'm saying, but they want to ignore what I'm saying because, you know, it upsets the apple cart and because, you know, it upsets, you know, the fact that they're getting paid 1% on, you know, $5 billion. So it's better for them just to not raise these questions than to actually critically think. And so, you know, really one of the options we're going to have available to this at the new place is the ability to have different hedging strategies where we can know our absolute downside limit, but then get most of the upside. So at the end of the day, everybody, you know, a lot of people want the same thing. They want to know that they're taken care of. They want to know that their advisor knows what they're doing, but they also don't want to participate in the market when it's going down, or at least not fully participate. And they want to gain as much as the market when it's going up. So, you know, that's, you know, very, you know, across the board, that's what most people want. And that's something that we're going to be able to give people. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm just going to be all of a sudden only talking about Bitcoin. And I also don't think that Bitcoin is going to be some sort of safe haven the next time we have a financial crisis. I mean, being a risky, super speculative asset class, I expect that it will probably behave like risky speculative asset classes do during any sort of crisis, and I'd expect for it to go down along with other cryptocurrencies. But, you know, just like there was a dot-com bubble burst that happened in late 1999, I think it was like 1999, 2000, 2001, that time frame, you know, if you were sitting on, you know, Apple stock or Amazon or Google, you know, all those went up, you know, tremendously in value. I mean, I think even Amazon went down to, you know, just a, you know, a few dollars. And it's actually, I mean, it's something where I could probably just go look it up right now. Let's see, Amazon stock. Yeah, so as you can see right now, it looks like, I mean, I'm just like eyeballing this, but it looks like in 1999, we're looking at 107. And then by, let's see, early 2000, late 2000, all right, now we're getting around like 9/11 time frame here. All right, $12, $10, $8. All right, so right around $8. I mean, maybe, you know, it could have been a little bit lower than that. But, you know, the picture is it went from over 100 down to 8. And so, you know, if you would have said, you know, hey, this internet thing, it's a fad, it should sell off. Well, now that's in the greater context of now it's sitting at $1,500. Now, again, Amazon didn't even make any money until even a few years ago. And the only reason they were making money is because they actually got the cloud CIA contract to handle all the CIA's data storage. Now, another interesting development that I did touch on a couple podcasts ago is these are the Federal Reserve dot plots. And what the dot plot is, it's the Federal Reserve governors. It's their estimate of where they think interest rates will be, both for 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and longer term. Now, from about 2000, pretty much from ever, whenever this started, wherever I've been paying attention to this, to about, really it was the last podcast I made where I showed what the dot plots look like. It'd always been an upward trajectory, except the difference was that, you know, it used to show that by 2015 we'd be at 4 or 5%, and obviously that didn't happen. That was fake news, something that we've been talking about for a while. But now, if you take a look at it, it actually shows that, okay, you know, by 2020 we're looking at 3.375, and then longer term it actually shows a downward trajectory. So what's that showing is, you know, some, I mean, why is it showing a downward trajectory? I mean, are they starting to, you know, sort of clue off what I've been saying all along, is that the Fed can't actually handle those rates? Because if the Fed was borrowing at 3.375, or that's actually the overnight interbank lending rate, that means the Fed would probably at least have to borrow at close to 5%. Or the government would have to borrow at least 5%, maybe even 6%, because when the rate was at zero, the government was borrowing at 1.75, 2%. And now that it's at 3, so add another 2% onto that, you're looking at least 5% of $21 trillion, over $1 trillion a year in interest. So now just trying to wrap this up is, I think one of the worst things you can do, being $21 trillion of debt, and then again, that debt doesn't even include Social Security or Medicare, which is even a bigger obligation than Social Security, is to then go to our largest creditors and then start trying to create a trade war with them. Now, we already have currency wars that have been going on, you know, sort of behind the scenes that really are above most people's heads of some of the stuff that's been going on. But the last thing you want to do is take the people who you owe a bunch of money to and then start having different trade wars with them, because I don't see this really working out, at least in the United States' favor, specifically in the short run. And the other thing that I see happening is I see, you know, trade deficits that are about to explode. Yes, you know, taxes were cut, but what wasn't cut was government spending. And I guess getting back to the risk allies, you know, if you're the U.S. government, you know, maybe the only way to be able to get this is to, you know, have your spending, you know, all of a sudden, I just realized that that screen isn't on right now. But, you know, it looks like the only way to be able to do this is have your spending get cut, you know, by a factor of 10, you know, in the risk allies example that I was using. And again, realize that that's not up there on the screen right now. But right now, nobody in Congress has really the willingness to be able to do that. And so what I see happening is, you know, I see that the general public's perception of this is going to be, okay, you know, we had a Democratic president in Bill Clinton. Economy was great. Again, there's, you know, a lot of, you know, asterisks next to that statement that I could give. But then we handed it off to a Republican and all of a sudden things, you know, ended up terribly. And then we handed it back off to Barack Obama and then things went, you know, started doing really great. And then all of a sudden, you know, Trump gets in and, you know, you've got the, you know, you got Trump who then cuts taxes for the rich is going to be what's put out into the ethos. And then all of a sudden now we had to go elect a Democrat to fix the problem that the Republicans got into. And again, I don't like either one of these parties. You know, there's a lot of stuff that Trump is doing right now that I'm not a fan of, because like everything I just talked about, because I know it's not working. I know that he was calling out a lot of the things that I was calling out. But now that they're his numbers, that, you know, it's something that he can run with, something that he can pound the table with. And what I see happening is I would be very surprised to see him win in 2020. It's not saying that I do want him to win or I don't want him to win or that I even care at this point, because at, you know, the 100,000 foot macro view is that none of this matters, because all this is really built on quicksand. But for you guys, you know, we have the strategies that we're going to be coming out with where we can limit the downside risk to somewhere in the neighborhood of 3-5%, depending on what, you know, the pricing of, you know, the, I guess, the insurances or the options are, and then we can get most of the upside. So that's exactly what everybody wants, and that's what we're going to be able to deliver you. And so we're going to make sure that we have your financial plans updated. We're going to make sure that we know what your goals are. More importantly, that you know what your goals are. And then at that point, we're going to do the best we can to make sure that we hit your goals, given all the craziness that's going on. And really, you know, we can opine about this. You know, I can prognosticate till, you know, I'm blue in the face. But, you know, but the only person that really is really affected by all this is the person that's close to retirement, the person that just entered retirement, the person that's about to retire in 5 years. Those people, you know, and again, I've been working with all of you, so, you know, I'm not really worried about any of you. If I wasn't working with myself and I was 62 years old, then I would say, you know, I'd be pretty worried at this point. But, you know, all of you, we do have plans. You know, it's not to say anything is guaranteed, but, you know, at some point the chickens are going to have to come home to roost. I don't know when that day is. You know, again, you know, I don't think today's 700 market swing. I think everything I talked about, you know, except for the trade tariffs, maybe some of that is involved in today's downturn, because I know China came out and said, you know, well, we're going to tax, you know, your soybeans, and we're going to tax your planes and cars and a few other things that, you know, because I think soybeans was like 68% go to China, or it was something like that. It was a very, very high number. But, you know, there's going to be retaliatory effects, you know, then they don't really even have to sell off, you know, the treasury bonds. All they have to do is just let them roll off, because most of the bonds we've been selling have been like 5-7 year bonds. So, you know, all they need to do is just not sell. They just need to wait, collect the maturity. But at the end of the day, you know, all, you know, the younger you are, you know, the more enslaved to the system you're going to be. And, you know, so you're a little bit of a slave, but then your kids are even more of debt slaves, and your grandkids are even bigger debt slaves, and your great grandchildren, you know, really how this shakes out is going to have a very, very big, you know, determination on how really the history of the world shakes out. And this is the third central bank that we have. There was one that ended in 1812, another one that ended around, I don't know the exact year, but around, it was Andrew Jackson in about 1844-ish. And then we went, you know, a great deal of time without one. And this is the third iteration. And I think they jumped the shark from 2008 to 2014 by printing all this money. And now we're sort of at the end of this rope. And blockchain is a way to be able to set up a new financial system. And it has nothing to do with Bitcoin. It's the fact that, you know, in the future, they're going to have stock exchanges that are going to be done by cutting out people like me. They're going to be done cutting out the advisors, and the money is just going to go straight from, you know, individual to individual, being represented by a token, and it's going to happen immediately, and it's going to cost next to nothing. And that technology and that company that's already doing that is already out, is already been implemented. And so there's just so many applications that I see for this that are really going to be, you know, really a biblical level changes that are going to be occurring that are, you know, very, very exciting. So, you know, I'm not just sitting here talking about doom and gloom. I'm trying to do something, which is why I'm trying to get ahead of the curve to really understand this blockchain technology, and more importantly, understand where it's going to be applied, and then trying to invest in those areas where there's actual real tangible applications, and not just hope that because there is a lot of BS that's out there. There is a lot of, I gave the .com bubble. Well, there's a lot of pets.coms. You know, pets.com was not the only one that burned and crashed. But, you know, in the Bitcoin market, let's say there's 1,500 of them, the crypto assets, you know, a lot of them are crap. A lot of them will go to zero. A lot of them should go to zero. A lot of people chasing, you know, hey, we'll buy this one for, you know, 0.00000001 pennies, and we'll buy 10,000 of them. And that way, if it gets up to $100, you know, we'll all be millionaires. And so this greed permeates throughout the Bitcoin world. You know, it's just human greed. We're seeing a lot of that. And that's been, you know, a lot of the reason for a lot of the market downturn as it relates to Bitcoin right now. So, but, you know, I know that the cryptocurrency space as a whole, it's still going to be around. It's not a fad. It's not going anywhere. And what I want to leave you guys with is I do have a link to my presentation that I gave in Acapulco, Mexico. And this was a presentation kind of geared towards the Bitcoin crowd, geared towards the anarcho-capitalist crowd. So it's not, you know, your everyday type person that is at this conference. So just keep that in mind. If you guys have any questions about that, just let me know. Again, I'm hoping to be in business very, very shortly here. I'm doing a half Ironman, not this weekend, but the next weekend out in Oceanside, California. Haven't trained really at all for that. I have not barely moved, you know, either one of my shoulders right now. Have not swam probably in about a year. All this year, I haven't swam. Run, you know, just a tiny bit, like maybe 30 miles this entire year, and that's probably estimating on the upside. And almost all that was with, you know, pushing my daughters, and I've done a little bit of biking. So, you know, what will probably happen is I'll probably end up getting, you know, okay to go back in business probably that day, or probably the, you know, the Friday before the Ironman is probably when I'll have that paperwork approved. But hoping, you know, believe me, nobody wants to get going on this more than me. The first priority is taking care of you guys, and believe me, as soon as I get to go ahead, we're going to be off to the races, getting you guys over here. For those of you that make sense to go on to the other strategies that we talked about, we can do those. And for those of you who doesn't make sense, we've got other options to keep on track of your stuff, even doing a better job than we're already doing right now. But anyways, thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend. It's Thursday, so I'm not sure when you guys are listening to this. But hope you have a great weekend, and talk to you later. Take care.